The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The first take, J.J. Redick joining the partay, and J.J.,
Before we go any further.
Yeah, sir.
You know, because there's no gender bias here. I said it to Monica McNutt yesterday, and I'm going to say it to J.J. Redick today. You're sitting in that seat, my brother.
Oh, yeah.
There's a responsibility that comes with sitting in that chair.
Fair enough.
I'm watching.
Fair enough. Fair
continue. Enough.
Okay, we'll just take a moment, and then we will. You're unbelievable.
How has he been this hour, the past hour?
Has he
made it about himself the
no,
whole time?
No, he hasn't.
Because yesterday,
I think it's yesterday. You know what? I think it's because Mad Dog's really stealing the show from him.
Okay.
He doesn't like that.
So, please.
JJ's got a problem with me. Let me
tell you really quick. So yesterday, Stephen A. referenced Stephen A. 24 times. Dan Orlovsky counted it.
24 times?
In the first hour. It really happened. We got the analytics.
And you know what my response to that was, right, Doggy? I said, is that all? I mean, it should have been
it
more.
It is his show, so I guess
Stephen A.
That's
okay.
That's making fun.
So, JJ, you were watching us in the first hour, and I understand that you have a bit of a problem with something that was said by
he does.
This
I
guy.
I
would
give him a chance to fight me
this
off.
Guy. I don't know what it's about, so
this.
Tell me.
Well,
no,
I have to see this.
Look. You were talking about the Suns. You were talking about Devin Booker's injury, and there were some questions that you had.
Right.
And in passing, you made a comment about Chris Paul, saying that Chris Paul was up and down.
Very spotty postseason moments.
My issue with this is that Chris Paul has been a model of consistency for 17 years, and in the playoffs, he has been great. And if you're going to point to one or two games, we can do that with every player, with every player. I'm sure we could go back to your era in the 1950s and 60s and find some spotty performances from Dolph Shays and Bill Russell.
He won a championship, Shays. But the missed free throws in Oklahoma City, he lost that series when he was on the Clippers. Missed four free. Was it two or four?
No. I was on the team. It was
he missed
a turnover.
Free throws.
He fouled Russell Westbrook and then he turned it over on
didn't
the last play.
Did he miss two free throws?
There was no free throws involved.
How about last year in one of the games against Milwaukee? Didn't he have 5 points in Game 5 against the Bucks and was awful in a game?
Okay.
If you are an NBA. His Hall of Famer.
What about the entire Lakers series where he couldn't shoot a basketball? Physically couldn't raise his shoulder and arm above his head,
and
he gutted it out and beat the Lakers. Does he get credit for that?
Putting him on this level of the all-time greats. When you put him on a level of the all-time greats, you can't have these kind of games.
Is he an all-time great, JJ?
He's absolutely an all-time
point guard.
He's an all-time great point guard.
Without
if
question.
If he wins a championship, he's in the conversation for the greatest point guard ever. I'm not saying
he's not. Greatest point guard, he's not Bob Cousy.
Bob Cousy couldn't dribble with his left hand.
Bob Cousy changed the game. Chris Paul didn't change the game.
Bob Cousy won championships when there were eight teams in the NBA and you had to win two playoff series.
Guys, hold on.
Let's celebrate Bob Cousy in his era, but you can't compare pre-1980 with the modern NBA.
Cousy, well, how about Weston Oscar? Can you compare Cousy with Weston Oscar?
The great players could play in any era. There's no doubt about
Cousy
that.
Cousy was first-team All-NBA when Weston Oscar were playing. And he was first-team All-NBA. That's against Weston Oscar.
Well,
first-team All-NBA.
You know,
has Paul ever been first-team All-NBA?
Did Bob Cousy ever shoot over 40% from the field
in
his career?
Well, we understand that.
Did he ever shoot over 40%?
Probably 39, 40%. Different kind
not
of game.
Once.
Aye, it's
not
fair.
Once.
That's fair. He also had 29 assists in an NBA game.
Oh, well, you know, he was being guarded by plumbers and firemen.
Oh, come on.
That is true. That is true.
Doggy, he changed the game.
He changed the game.
Cousy did.
Stop it.
Nash? Do you think
Chris Paul is one of the top five point guards. Chris Paul is one of the top five point guards in the history of basketball.
I got to think about that for a minute. That seems a little strong for me.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
Kyrie Irving was transported and teleported into a 1960s Finals Game 7.
Well, you have to,
they would look at him like he was a wizard.
You have to judge players in their time. You can't take a player 60 years from now and throw him back.
But the context of playing against seven other teams and for most of those championships, which is the argument for any Celtic in that era, they had to win two playoff series.
They also had to beat Wilt. You think anybody today is as good as Wilt? They had to beat Wilt.
Yeah, I think Joel Embiid is. Yeah, I do.
Oh, no, he's not.
Oh, yeah,
oh, come on.
I think Joel Embiid.
50 points a game.
You don't think Joel Embiid would average 50 points a game in the 1960s?
When everybody is
trying to. Oh, my God.
No way. Oh, my God. You got to have. I mean, he's going against. How good do you think Russell was?
He was a great defender and rebounder and a winner, the ultimate winner in our sport.
That's
he did his job.
Championships and, and he averaged 17 points.
He was also a center that averaged, you know, shot 44% from the field as a center.
You guys tell me. I don't want to interrupt. Are we good on this one?
No, he's mad at me, but we'll live.
Can we go? We're all always mad at each other.
But then
we laugh in 2 seconds. This is First Take. This is what we're about. We're a dysfunctional family.
If Chris Paul is as great as we all think he is and Booker doesn't play, beat the Pelicans.
Oh, they will.
We'll see.
Let's leave it on that. No, that feels like a good spot. All right, I want to get to the news on Kyrie Irving, though. So Kyrie was fined $50,000 for his behavior towards Celtics fans. Now, the NBA said the fine was for making obscene gestures on the playing court and directing profane language towards spectator stands during Sunday's Game 1 in Boston. Here's Kevin Durant on what Boston fans were really feeling.
It's rooted in love. They once loved you. They once cheered for you and, you know, bought your merchandise and, you know, had, you know, life-altering experiences coming to games watching you play. So when it kind of gets ripped from them from just something like a trade or demanding a trade or wanting to leave, like, they feel like a piece of them is gone too.
All right, JJ, you're up first. I asked the guys about this earlier. Do you have any issue with how Kyrie interacted with the fans?
Let me just acknowledge that Kevin Durant just dropped a bar. That quote is that quote from him.
Yeah, yeah.
That all of it.
But I didn't know if there's a particular line.
No, all of it. Okay. Just that whole quote is just a bar. That is so poetic and so introspective.
I agree.
There's an existential component to that. I just, when we talk about sports, why they matter to fans, why athletes matter to fans, why teams and communities, why all of this matters. That's part of it. That's part of it. It's having that experience and that attachment to something and then losing it and the agony of that. I have no problem whatsoever with Kyrie's interaction. As someone who has been on the other side of a lot of fan abuse, especially at Duke, there were times that I reacted and said some things. Fans have a tendency to go sort of over the top. The NBA has done a good job in recent years of cleaning that up. But in this environment, in a playoff game in Boston, given the history, I'm coming back if you'll have me. Then he doesn't come back, and he sort of burns the place down his second year there. Those fans absolutely have a right to jeer him and to you know, talk trash to him. And guess what? He has a right to respond, too. The NBA did the right thing in fining him. All parties win to me. All parties win. It's part of sports.
I generally agree with JJ on that. I don't like a player reacting to fans in the course of a ball game. He should be tone deaf and not be paying attention. And the fact that he did that, I get a problem. I would. Bill Russell never did that.
Did you have a problem with Reggie Miller doing it to Spike Lee, reacting to Spike Lee? Did you have a problem with that?
That was more of a Spike Lee thing.
Kyrie had 39 in the game.
He played great.
39 in the game.
What is
the problem with reacting to a fan?
Because he didn't.
You don't think great players night to night have to figure out, I need something to get me going? Come on, man.
Well, it's
you
a playoff game
that.
In the
Come
fourth
on.
Quarter. Does Come he have on. To give him a finger? Does
Come
he have
on.
To? Does he have
it's
to
hilarious. It's hilarious.
I mean, you know, here's the bottom line about Kyrie. He's very polarizing. He's tough to root for. Very difficult to be embraceable. And he told the Boston fans, he wanted to go to Boston. He told Boston forever that he wanted to stay there. And then he bailed. So from that standpoint, and you and I agree with that, you can't blame the Celtic fan for giving him a hard time. I would have preferred the language, but that's Boston. That's what they do. I mean, Boston fan has always had a history of doing that. But if I'm Kyrie, I lay low. Show them that I don't acknowledge to them that they're getting to me. And it got to him.
I was with you and Stephen A. and had zero issue, and then I'll let Stephen A. come in. But then he brought in, it was Easter Sunday.
So, well, I don't know. I just said that.
Come on, flipping the bird. It's a holiday. Come on. That's the only thing. That was a strong point.
But what is the meaning of flipping the bird? We don't have to talk about this here. Obviously,
I know what the meaning
we
is.
We know what the word
is. I can tell you that.
But some of it is just, I am acknowledging you. You're annoying the hell out of me.
Right.
And I'm going to go get a bucket. That, to me, is what flipping the bird in this case, that's the meaning of it.
He didn't get the bucket with the game on the line.
That was a bad play. He hit the shot to put him up 3.
And then
the Brooklyn Nets completely mismanaged the last 45 seconds
right,
of the game.
But
that is not on him.
Well, hold on.
That's not on him.
He got double teamed, and he tried to beat the double team and then bailed that out to Durant with 3 seconds to go on the shot clock. That was his fault.
Was it his fault that the Nets didn't call timeout there? Was it his fault
that's fair.
That they had a terrible defensive strategy and allowed Jalen Brown to score in 6 seconds?
True.
No, don't put this on Kyrie.
I agree with you on that.
They were down 15 points. They came back.
And he played great in the game. But you didn't have a problem with that possession with him on offense?
It was so disorganized. The whole possession was disorganized. By the way, I thought about this, and I rewatched it. That when that double team comes, there should be someone in the middle of the paint, and there should be someone in the opposite corner. They had everybody over here and Kevin Durant up top. There was really no real good play to make out of that other than trying to dribble around and create something. There was terrible space. It was totally disorganized. They should have called timeout. Well, they should have defended that possession properly.
Oh, that's
true, too. It was 114-111,
and
then they should have called timeout.
I want to get Stephen A. in. Stephen A., where are you on all of this? Because a lot was just said.
Well, the first thing that I want to say is this. I want to have J.J. Redick and Doggy on more often because, obviously, anytime I need a break, I'm certainly going to get it with those two. They can talk for hours. So that helps me out. Thank you very, very much. I had actually sat here and had breakfast because that's how long y'all went on. Good for me, okay? All my fruits and everything like that. Secondly, J.J. Redick, I completely agree with you. I'm with you. I don't have any problem with what happened with Kyrie Irving. But I will disagree with you on this point. Those last couple of possessions that you're pointing to, and you talked about Kyrie is not to blame, he is to blame. And here's why he is to blame. Because better coaching would have prevented that from happening. Who's the guy that wanted a coach that really said, I don't need a coach? Who's that guy? Who's the guy that sat up there and said, we really don't need a coach, it's not that important, and got KD to co-sign on that? Who's the guy that facilitated a guy that has never coached on any level being the head coach of a championship contender? You don't get to manipulate all of that and then walk away and be like, I had nothing to do. Not to say that Kyrie was doing that, but I'm just articulating your point. No, he had everything to do with that because better, more experienced, more seasoned coaching would have prevented those kind of things from transpiring. But Kyrie don't need a coach. So, yeah, that part is on him. But in terms of him flipping the bird and all of this other stuff, I don't want to hear that. The reality of the situation is that the fans were giving it to him. He was giving it right back to them. He talked smack to them. He gave them the bird, and he put up buckets. The brother dropped 39. Doggy, he was absolutely sensational.
Oh, he was great today.
Reminding everybody how sensational of a talent he is.
I agree.
And why people like me are completely justified and are disgusted over him missing one game after another, after another, after another, because we don't get to witness the level of greatness be put on display on a night-in, night-out basis over the course of 82 games, which is what he signed his contract to do, but very rarely has ever fulfilled. In his entire career, Kyrie has played over 60 games 4 times. 4 times over 60 games in his entire career. This brother misses work. That's our problem with Kyrie. That's our only problem with Kyrie. All of this other stuff, you can say what you want. I like the attitude. I like the fact that he goes back after fans. I like the fact that he's telling them, y'all could kiss my you-know-what. And, oh, by the way, then going out there and busting Boston's you-know-what. I think he's going to do it again. I think he's going to average 30 at least this series, okay? And God help what's going to happen to Boston. Brace yourself for what's coming with KD. Oh, Lord. It ain't going to happen 2 games in a row. Brace yourself. This is Kevin Durant we talking about here. And just as brilliant as his quote was, is as brilliant as this play is going to be.
Stephen, I agree with you on the availability. That's part of the frustration of the Kyrie Irving experience, is that he doesn't play in a ton of games. But you just said, like, you have another problem with him because you just talked about the imprint that he has on the culture in regards to coaching or whatever it may be. That you said you have one problem with him, and that's his availability, but you have a second problem with him. That's the impact on the culture. In the moment, it is the coach's job to call a timeout. It is the coach's job to set a defensive strategy in a huddle. That's not on Kyrie. No.
What I'm saying is you said you didn't need a coach. So as a result, they hired somebody. With all due respect.
No. He said that after they hired Steve Nash.
Hold on. This is
he
first
said that
take,
nine
JJ
months
Redick.
After the first
You don't get away with that
Steve
BS.
Nash.
No, you're not getting away with that. Kyrie Irving had everything to do with the decision that was made in terms of who they hired. He didn't say that about Steve Nash just afterwards. They came to Kyrie and KD before they hired Steve Nash. That is a fact. So the point is they had to endorse it to transpire. They gave the endorsement. He might have given a quote publicly thereafter, but they endorsed his hire. How come if you have a championship squad, you don't insist on an experienced coach being in that chair so you know that you're prepared for moments like Sunday?
You think Steve Nash is going to take this job? You think Steve Nash needs the money that he wants to be away
from
his kids?
No, that has nothing to do with
this.
No, but hold on.
He's going to take this job, this Hall of Fame two-time MVP. He's going to take this job knowing at the time, the first conversation, that Kyrie says, we don't need a coach. You think he knew that Kyrie felt that way
not,
when he took
I'm
the job?
I'm not talking about Steve Nash.
No, you I'm are. You're
no,
saying,
no, no, no.
I agree with
You're
you that Kyrie and Katie had to endorse
point.
This.
He I'm not talking about him.
After the hire.
See, Steve Nash,
after
Steve
the fire.
Nash has done nothing wrong here. I would have taken the damn job. Steve Nash has done nothing wrong. I'm simply saying the level of experience that he lacked. Kyrie Irving is a champion. KD is a two-time champion. They've been in the league for years. They know what it takes and what it requires. And Kyrie's thought process went into giving the okay that he gave. And the point is, I'm saying you should not have okayed that. You should have wanted a more experienced coach for moments like this. It takes a lot to win a championship. It takes a lot to be successful on a professional level. You don't take a guy that never coached anywhere and give him the job. He's never coached anywhere,
JJ,
ever.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Steve Nash is the right fit as head coach of the Nets?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I absolutely do.
And you think he could lead them to winning a championship?
Yeah, and I think I talked about it all morning on Get Up. It's dependent upon, is Ben Simmons remotely healthy and available to play 25 to 30 minutes a game? In that case, that is a game changer for the Brooklyn Nets.
And do you think Ben Simmons should play?
If he's healthy, he should play.
In the same way, when I talk about
Devin Booker or Luka Doncic, they should look out for their own health.
Yeah.
But if they are healthy enough to play, yes, they should play.
No, but let me just say this, because we've had a lot of former players on, and they said that he would be more of a liability. I remember having that conversation that potentially Ben Simmons would be more of a liability because he hasn't played in so long, that it wouldn't be the right decision. And these are former players. But you think he should potentially play in this series if he is healthy?
Well, he solves... He solves two issues that the Nets have in this series.
Okay.
Number one, whether it's Patty Mills, Seth Curry, Kyrie Irving, they are going to target those guys over and over again. So you need another wing defender in Ben Simmons. The third piece is they got to figure out a way to get Seth Curry going. They got to figure out a way to get Patty Mills going. That a lot of this series will hinge on whether those guys can have big shooting nights. There is no one in the NBA over the last few years that has created more three-point shots for their teammates than Ben Simmons.
All right.
Steve Nash is getting better and better. I'm quite sure he'll be successful in the NBA. One of the great, great guys that's ever played in the NBA as a person and as a player. He had no experience and was thrusted in the position of coaching a championship squad. He never deserved the job. And there have been moments last year in the postseason, some would argue, that showed that players, coaches, executives know that. He's going to do well. He's going to do well.
Did Steve Kerr ever have a coaching job?
I'm sorry.
Did Steve Kerr ever have a coaching job?
No.
Okay.
But he was a general manager in the NBA who was hiring coaches and played a role in defining the qualifications that you needed in order to be a coach.
Different roles. You know that.
That's
I'm just saying. He has an idea because of what the qualifications that came along with it.
The qualifications to be an NBA
And by the way, when Steve Kerr got the job, we weren't supportive of him getting the job. Because we thought that Mark Jackson had built the foundation of it and didn't deserve to lose the job. Which is a different subject.
Final word from you. Anything you
want to say? He just did a great job.
There's too much to unpack there. Well, that's for another. This is all for another day.
Okay.
There's too much.
Guess what? Here's the
thing. I ain't going anywhere.
He was great. He got on me about Paul, and he great thought on Kerr. That one's good.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They don't call him Jimmy Buckets for nothing, folks. Jimmy Butler goes off for a career playoff high 45 points as the Heat take a commanding 2-0 lead in their series against the Atlanta Hawks after the game. He said he's not the same player as he was 2 years ago when he helped push the Lakers to the brink in the playoffs. Miami rolling and looks to be on a collision course with Joel Embiid, James Harden, the Sixers, who are playing lights out right now. Stephen A. Smith, are you more confident in the Heat or the Sixers in a potential matchup between the two?
Heat. I just think that they're more well-balanced. They're deeper. I think that, don't get me wrong, I've noticed Maxey has come on strong. I think that's a tremendous thing. Obviously, you look at Tobias Harris. He's made his presence known in these first two games against Toronto as well. Joel Embiid is my MVP. But I got to tell you this. When you look at the depth of the Miami Heat, first of all, you got Bam Adebayo, who's a big boy, who's very athletic, and obviously runs the floor very, very well. That's something to contend with. You take into account Jimmy Butler and what he brings to the table. You think about the experience of a P.J. Tucker and a Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry is exceptional at drawing offensive fouls. P.J. Tucker is a professional pest. You got Tyler Hero, who could easily be sixth man of the year. You got Duncan Robinson, who came off the bench and dropped 8 threes the other night. And when he's making those threes like he did in game one, it's a different animal. You got to take all of those things into consideration. They're one of the more exceptionally well-coached teams in the NBA. Their culture is undeniable. All of those things taken into consideration are enough to look at the Miami Heat and say they should be the favorite. Since they're number one seed, they're going to have home court advantage. But here's where it really, really gets interesting. James Harden does not look the same, y'all. When are we going to say it? I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it again. He does not look the same. He hasn't been the same since that hamstring injury last year. He looks like he's lost a step. He looked like his health has been compromised. A combination of coming in the camp out of shape, combined with ultimately sustaining that hamstring injury. He hasn't been that guy. Got injured again this year in Brooklyn. Hasn't been that guy. He doesn't get the same level of separation. He doesn't dance on people the way that he used to, blows by people the way that he used to. He doesn't draw fouls the way that he used to. All of the things that we're seeing from James Harden, although he can still ball, make no mistake about it, he's a baller. The reality is that he's not the person that he used to be. And because he's not that person, why should we assume that the Philadelphia 76ers are better off with him against the Miami Heat than the Miami Heat are better off against the Philadelphia 76ers? I'm not buying that. I would pick the Miami Heat to win the next series.
All right, I'm going to take the I will take Philly. I got to see a little more with Harden before I'm going to make too much of a big deal about Toronto. I mean, they're going to beat Toronto easy. I got to see Harden here when he's in a big spot to think that he's lost a step or two. Best players on Miami. I think best players on, of course, Philadelphia with Embiid. I think Stevie makes some fair points about the balance of the Heat. You know, they can shoot threes. Obviously, Butler, the center, is a good player. Lowry's won a championship. He's got long. He can shoot long-range threes. Tucker is a pest. I'll buy that. They got a nice ball club. They're not great. They got a nice ball club. I mean, they got one very, very good player, lots of good players. They got a good coach. But I am not ready to sit there and think, if Harden is okay, and, you know, Stevie seems to think there's something missing, I got to see a little more before I'm going to make that declaration. But with him, and Embiid, Harris, Maxey. I think Philly's beaten them before. I think Philly will win that series because I think they have the better player. And I don't like Miami's home court. They do not have a good – there'd be as many Philadelphia fans down there as Miami fans.
I agree with that.
That's a horrific home court. That is a horrific NBA town. That is not a big deal winning there in Miami. Mm-hmm. So Philadelphia can win games there. They can win a game seven there. You know, you're not going to win a game seven in certain buildings in the NBA. You can win a game seven in Miami easy.
Well, let me say this. I am quite an expert on Miami, Dougie, and so I could give you some insight on Miami. I would tell you that the fans are great. The problem is there's a lot to do, so they end up getting to the game late. They don't get there early. So at the beginning of the game, you see a lot of empty seats. You see a lot of people that's not there. You're wondering about the crowd or whatever. But come third, fourth quarter, you all of a sudden see it packed, and you're like, where the hell did this come from? Well, where it came from was that, you know, folks were on the beach or somewhere in South Beach, and then they go to the game. They don't show up there on time in Miami.
Sounds like you
That's the problem.
All right, so Steve.
But they show up.
Giving the Heat the edge. I don't know if that's personal agenda, and you're giving Philly.
I'm giving Philly the edge, yes.
All right.
I'm giving you facts. I'm giving you facts.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
How about Jason Tatum? Has his Celtics in a good spot, up 1-0 on the mighty Nets, and look to grab another game at home tonight. Tatum's last-second buzzer beater in Game 1 was his first winner in his short NBA career, just 24 years old. The former Dookie has made the All-Star team three times and has become one of the league's brightest stars. Christopher Russo, do you think Tatum has established himself as a top 10 player in the association?
No, I do not. You have to win more than one playoff game. Where he made a layup and give Smart the credit. He's the one who made the play to set up that last basket more than Tatum did. If you look at the top 10 guys in the league right now, he is not better than Jokic. He's not better than Embiid. He's not better than LeBron. He's not better than Giannis. And he's not better than Curry. So no matter how you sit there and evaluate him, you're not putting him over those five. And that's just top of my head. Now, the next five, you know, where do you put Anthony Davis? Right? He's always hurt. But Davis is a tremendous player who's won a championship. He won it with LeBron, but he won a championship. So where do you put him? Where do you put a guy like Booker, who could get tremendous consideration for the MVP, who doesn't have a great team? You know, the Celtics have a lot of good players. You know, Brown's a good player. Smart's a good player. Horford's a good player. And they got a lot of good players around them. I mean, you know, where do we put Booker? Booker hasn't won he's at least played in the final. I mean, are we going to eliminate Kawhi Leonard because he's hurt? He doesn't count now all of a sudden when he's won a championship, so he's all of a sudden off the board. Listen, he's a heck of a player, but again, this is what people do in 2021 America and 2022 America, including my little pal over here, Mr. Smith. We put them on these incredible levels, these pantheons, always a top 10, always one of the all-time greats, always this, always that. And a man has never played in an NBA final, right? In Game 7 against the Celtics, against the Cavaliers 4 or 5 years ago, LeBron had nobody. Like Stephen, he had Smith. It was a terrible team. That team got romped by the Warriors. I mean, he didn't, you know, in the last 5 minutes of the game, that was a one-point game. They didn't win. He didn't win again. That's also a couple years ago. He's 22 years old, and it was LeBron. But so I got to see a little more before I'm going to put him on this incredible level of a top 10 player in the NBA. He's no higher in my eyes than, say, 6 or 7 right now, and I can debate it. Go ahead.
The one great thing about you being on this show with me every week, Doggy, is that you can count on Wednesdays you being the Grinch, not me. You are something else. It's unbelievable. I mean, the stuff that you come up with. Doggy, I got news for you. You want me to give you the breaking news?
Yeah, go ahead.
He's 24!
All right, fine.
He's 24!
Hey, 1 year in college. How many years has he played? He's played 5-6 years.
Excuse me. Did I let you speak? I thought I did, right?
You did.
Doggy, do you realize that Jason Tatum has been to not one, but two Eastern Conference Finals? Do you realize that one of them, he was in Game 7, 48 minutes away from a berth to the finals, and LeBron stopped him? He's 24!
So why you got to put
24! I mean, you're talking about the guy like he's been around for a decade and a half, and he can't get it done. He's just getting started!
By the way, he's
not Magic Johnson. I know he's not Magic Johnson. He won a championship when he was a rookie. I know he's not Bird, and you know what? I got a championship my first couple of years in the NBA. I understand. Did you love Dr. J? How many years did it take him to win a title? Don't you think Jordan's the greatest? It took him about 7 years. How about LeBron James? I mean, come on, doggy. I mean, the guy is knocking at the door, and you're knocking him? He's 24. He's 6'9". He's 6'9", doggy. Right. Okay? With a 7-foot wingspan. That brother has a J. He can shoot threes. He can shoot a mid-range game. He can finish at the basket. He can finish in the open court. He's got a handle. And by the way, you were talking about how well Tatum defended Kevin Durant in the clutch. And we're going to sit up here looking, and I don't want to hear it.
I forgot to mention Durant.
Top 10. I mean, please, I don't want to hear it. Really?
I forgot
really?
To mention Durant.
He's 24.
I forgot to mention him. Yeah,
what?
I forgot to mention Durant. He's not, so that makes him no higher than 7, because I forgot to mention Durant.
Okay.
And also I can mention Kyrie Irving. Okay. He's not better than him.
Okay, but he's in the discussion to be a top 10 talent in the NBA. And by the way, everybody that you put above him are champions. He's 24!
Jokic hasn't won a championship. He's not as good as him.
Except Jokic. I understand that.
Embiid? Well, when's the last time he had a parade in Philly? Embiid's not a champion.
I understand that. Okay, fine. You got Jokic, you got Embiid. But I'm telling you, Embiid was hurt. But Embiid's great. We're not denying that. He doesn't have a championship. Embiid hasn't even been in the conference finals. Tatum has. Oh, by the way, let me tell you this story as well. Because, listen. I respect Brian Colangelo, the former general manager in Phoenix, the former head of basketball operations, rather, in Phoenix and Philadelphia. Made a mistake right there, you know, in terms of swapping picks, moving up to number one, getting Markelle Fultz, passing on Tatum. You know who else passed on Tatum? Irvin Magic Johnson. Because you're working for the Lakers and you know what? They trying to build, get money for the gate, whatever, running a damn operation like a mom and pop shop. What happens? He draft Lonzo Ball out of Chino Hills instead of Jason Tatum because you needed somebody with box office appeal. Jason Tatum is a big-time basketball player at age 24, and it's an argument that it could be top 10. You want to sit up there and you can give me names. You might give me 10 names, then he'd be 11. You might give me 9 names, then he'll be 10. You might give me 8 names, then he'll be 9. He's in that conversation at age 24. And Mad Dog Russo is sitting up here on national television. I don't want to hear it.
I'll tell you who I think is, really? You know who I think is as good as he is? Ingram.
What?
Ingram.
Oh, my God. So let me get this straight. I like Ingram. If Brandon Ingram is listening, I like Brandon Ingram a lot. And I think that he's going to continue to flourish. Willie Green's doing a hell of a job as the coach in New Orleans. Give David Griffin his props, even because without Zion Williamson, getting that C.J. McCollum deal done and bringing it is a great pickup by David Griffin.
Yes,
he deserves a lot of credit. Let's give credit where credit is due. All true. And Brandon Ingram, we like him a lot. But he ain't no Jason Tatum.
Oh, my
Not
God.
Yet.
Take it easy.
Not yet.
Jason Tatum.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
Again.
I don't even know what to say to you.
He's no Jason. It's that difference. Tatum is that much better. I mean, Ingram is a geez. Right. You see the game last night?
Let's see how it is tonight.
And by the way, I'm not holding it against the Lakers for passing up on Tatum so much because, again, it was box office and Lonzo Ball coming from that area. I understand it. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. I'll say that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Drafts next week, and our draft blitz continues with the AFC South. Tennessee looks mostly the same from when they finished first overall in the AFC last season, apart from the addition of Robert Woods from the Rams. However, their star receiver, A.J. Brown, looking for a new deal, plans to skip the Titans' offseason programs. That, according to our Adam Schefter. Brown joins Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel, who also say they will sit out of their team's offseason programs unless they get new long-term deals. All three stars come from the 2019 draft class and are under a contract through 2022, but want contracts at a time where wide receiver deals have really exploded. Adam Schefter reporting that. And now we bring in my guy, Marcus Spears. Where is he? There he is. From home with the fresh frames. Good to see
you. The Lions Den. The Lions Den.
Yes. Big man baller.
Yes.
Big man baller. That's right. What's up, big boy?
Yeah, yeah, Marcus, yeah.
What's up, man?
I'm going to start with you.
And some weight to the show.
Okay. Right. Let's get it.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Marcus, three talented receivers here, but who would you rather have, Deebo, McLaurin, or Brown?
Deebo Samuel. Listen, one thing I will say about Deebo Samuel more than any receiver in this league, his job was harder. He had a harder job this year than any receiver in the NFL. When you start talking about the level of production that they needed from him in order to go to Green Bay and win that game. But all season long, remember when we were talking about San Francisco, we were trying to figure out if they were going to make the playoffs. And who was the sole reason that that happened? It was Deebo Samuel. It was not Jimmy Garoppolo. It wasn't George Kittle who was injured. It wasn't Devonta defense, even though they played great during the playoffs. Offensively, Deebo Samuel with the ball in his hands is the most devastating player in football, outside of Lamar Jackson, obviously. But when you look at all of the production from all of the places all over the field, not to mention 77 catches for 1,400 yards, averaging 18 yards a catch as a wide receiver. And we can go off into other positions of note that he played for the San Francisco 49ers. But ultimately, I'm starting a team with that dude. Because when I get the ball in his hands, 90% of the time, something good going to happen.
Go ahead, Doggy.
You know, listen, I hate to argue with Marcus because I think he's 100% right. With the San Francisco game, he runs the ball out of the backfield. He's a heck of a player, but it'll be different. I would take A.J. Brown. I love his size. I love his big playability. He's a home run hitter. Tannehill isn't very good. He's got to work with him. Samuel's a diversified player. And again, when the fact that he can run the ball out of the backfield and win a game that way, as he did in that last drive in Green Bay in the bad weather, and they didn't want to take the ball out of Garoppolo's hands. Look how well he played. So Marcus is not wrong, but you and I will go the other way. Oss started home run hitter Brown. Tannehill's not very good. He doesn't have really a whole lot of other guys on that team. You know, Samuel's got Shanahan, who's a great offensive coordinator and a coach who knows how to utilize, and Kittle's a great tight end. So he's got things he can work with, Shanahan. You know, listen, Arthur Smith left. Vrabel's not a great offensive coach. He's a defensive player. And Henry missed a whole year, essentially, after the foot. So maybe we haven't seen a best of Brown. Marcus is not wrong, but I'll take A.J. Brown.
He's wrong. He's wrong. And secondly, Doggy, will you stop telling people what I think before I say it?
I'm
Wait,
sorry.
Let me tell them that. Stop. Okay. Here's the deal, okay? Let me tell you something, Marcus. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong, because I love me some Deebo Samuels. I love that brother, and I want him to get his money, and I know his versatility speaks for itself. He's a hybrid, man. He can do it all. He can run out of the backfield. He can catch passes, he can run routes. We know all of that. But I'm going to accuse my brother, Swaggoo, my man Marcus Spears, dare I say, of being a bit thoughtless. I think you're a bit cruel. I don't think that you put on your Dr. Phil hat and touched on the sensitivity of the situation. A.J. Brown's got Ryan Tannehill throwing them the football, damn it. I mean, let's give our prayers. Let's give our prayers and our thoughtfulness about what this man has had to endure, okay? He's had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons before he played 13 games and had over 800 yards receiving last year. They got the 15th-ranked offense, 24th-ranked passing attack. What's the real problem here? This brother's running routes for a quarterback that can't get it to him half the time. I'm looking at these numbers here, right here, Marcus, okay? Now, the brother had about 869 yards receiving. He caught 63 receptions. You know how many times he caught that he was targeted? 105. Okay? That's a 60%. I mean, come on. When you see the big time receivers, you see in the highest 70th percentile, in the 80th percentile, when you target them, they're catching passes. Not when Ryan Tannehill throwing you that damn football. I mean, you got to remember, a target is when you throw the ball in the vicinity. So you throw the ball to Marcus Spears, and there's nobody around. Well, we guess that pass was for Marcus Spears. I mean, it wasn't damn close, but at least we know it was for him. We're dealing with here. This is the same Ryan Tannehill. I mean, listen, everybody in Tennessee is hyped. First of all, you go to Tennessee, there's no state income taxes. It's a beautiful thing for a capitalist like myself. I might move out there one day. Nashville, Tennessee is a nice city, okay? The bottom line is this. You go out there, right? You got the city, they're hyped. They're all ready to go. They got on their Swaggoo glasses, even the damn shirt, for crying out loud, looking like they in Hawaii, but they in Nashville, Tennessee, all right? They're hyped and ready to go for the game. Got the tailgate parties going on and everything. And before they got an opportunity to pass gas, this man, Ryan Tannehill, throws an interception. First pass of the game, he throws an interception. This one just deflates
everything.
And that's what A.J. Brown has to deal with.
Welcome,
all
doggy.
I'm saying is this.
Let me talk, man.
I did let you talk.
All that. Let me talk, okay? All right, doggy, I appreciate, doggy, you see, you know, because you said I'm right. That's all. You could have ended your whole soliloquy with what you said after that, doggy, is what I'm right. But see, Stephen A. is not going to allow himself to admit when he's wrong. I have sat on this damn show with this man for the last 6 months. He will not even call Jimmy Garoppolo his name. He won't even call the man his name. What do you call him?
Jimmy.
What do you call him?
Star Jimmy. That's what it is.
So now we gonna compare. So now Jimmy Garoppolo is seven levels above Ryan Tannehill.
No,
man,
he got Kyle Shanahan. He got Kyle Shanahan. And he got Vrabel.
Right,
Vrabel's a defensive mind. Kyle Shanahan's an offensive mind.
I was ready for you to say that.
This is a lot
of fun, but I'm being told we have to go to commercial.
He's leading.
I can lead. Stephen A.
I can lead too.
Stephen A. Jimmy Garoppolo has a new commercial. You'll see it. New commercial. Subway. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. 7 Eastern, it all goes down. Nets, Celtics in Boston. Mad Dog Russo, who you got?
I'm going to take the Celtics because I think the Nets lost their opportunity there in game one. So I'll take Boston to go 2-0 up in this series. I'll go the Celtics.
Okay. Stephen A?
Kevin Durant drops 40. Kyrie got 30. Right. Patty Mills and Seth Curry, there will be a sighting. And the Brooklyn Nets will even this series. 1-1, heading back to the Barclays Center Saturday in Brooklyn, New York. where I will be. You know it.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.